from Joshua, chapter 6. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. That's how fearful they were of what they had heard. They had been hearing about what Israel had been doing as they're marching across the land, and they were afraid. So they closed the gates, and no one went in, and no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a shout, and then the walls of the city will collapse, and the people will go up and every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord covenant followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priests who blew the horns, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. And then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord with the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is in there are to be destroyed to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." And when the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged in, and they took the city. This is God's message to us.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for helping us to have a good laugh today. So we're all familiar, right, with this passage. I don't know if we can, at the end, you know, close with that children's, I don't know if we know it well enough, you know, the walls of Jericho fell. But all of you know it from childhood, I imagine. I wasn't a Christian as a child, but I've seen a lot of you remember a lot of these songs that you sang when you were children. And this is one of them that is very familiar. We're all familiar with this passage. The walls of Jericho fell, and they fell down hard. But have you ever thought that what God tells his people to do by faith doesn't make sense. I mean, the children laugh, and you know, you guys laughed as children, and woo, look what they did. But now as an adult, look back at that story and tell me, would you have done that? It makes no sense. We're not talking children that God asked them to do that. Children would have done it and thought, oh, what, you know, it's kind of like a game. But these were adults that God asked them to do that. These were fighting men. You know, ask some vets. What would you have guys have thought if God tells you, go against your enemy, but don't take any weapon. Take some trumpets. See how you do it. Well, would you do it? And we say, I don't think so. I mean, put yourself in those shoes, those of you who are war veterans. Made no sense. But not only that, God asked priests to do that. They had a reputation to keep, you know. And the priests were asked to do something so silly that if children would have done it, it would have been like, oh, look how cute they look, sounding their trumpets, thinking the walls are going to fall. But these were men of war and priests doing that. So take your mind out of the child's story, the way you saw it, I mean, and look back as an adult that you are today and tell me if this statement is not true, that faith doesn't always, or maybe I should say faith seldom makes sense. Yet, that's what we are called to do. That's how we are called to live, by faith. The calling is very tall, very high. You see, we need to know faith doesn't always make sense. Do you remember how God asked Abraham to believe by faith that he would bear a son when he was 100 years old? What if God would say that to you? Let's not go that far, 100. What if God would say that to each of you today? You're going to have a child, every one of you here today. Yeah, I see you laughing. That's what Sarah did. She laughed. Do you blame Sarah for laughing when she heard God say that to her husband? She laughed. She was like, I'm sure if she could have said something out loud, she would have said, God, what are you thinking? Did you forget how old we are? See, in this passage, God tells not a married couple, today's passage, but a big group of people to do something outrageous. That's faith, people. We're used to doing these itty-bitty steps of faith. This is the kind of faith that I've been preaching about for a few weeks now. It's a bold, powerful faith that it's not just for the hearers of the faith. It's for us, for each one of us. So God asks this group of people to believe that he would give them victory against their enemies by marching around tall walls, shouting and singing and blowing the trumpet. These were men of war, like I said, strong and brave, and God tells them to march around the city, not with weapons of war, but with trumpets. Trumpets were used to worship, by the way. They were used in battle, but they were used to worship God. Does that make sense to you again? Oh, these people going around. And think about their enemies, how powerful they felt. These walls are tall enough. What are they doing? They've lost their mind. You can put your own comments to how, if you would have been on the inside of those walls, what would your reaction have been? Like, that's crazy. What are they doing? Yes, faith doesn't make sense. Many times, true faith doesn't make sense. Nonetheless, by faith, they obeyed, and the walls collapsed. the walls collapsed. Verse 20, when the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. That simple. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. No weapons. No climbing up the walls. Who did that? God. How did he do that? By faith. That's the faith God is inviting you, has been inviting you for weeks as I have been preaching about faith for you to have. It's not just for a few elite people. It's for you, for an everyday person, an everyday child of God. When the priests obey the call of God to do this outrageous thing that didn't make sense, the walls collapsed. By this act, they were showing their trust in God's promise. Over human logic, and God responded with a great victory. God responds to faith. God responds to faith. God dwells in the environment where faith is being cultivated, where faith is being nurtured. God is there. It's very attractive to God, to the Spirit of God, when someone is working, cultivating their faith. I want you to see, as I'm getting close to the end, I want you to see that this passage shows us that there is also a relationship between faith and worship, faith and obedience. The sounding of the trumpets during the fall of the walls of Jericho was considered, has been considered a profound sign of worship, obedience, and proclamation of God's victory rather than a standard military action. Yes, through this act of obedience, they were not only worshiping God, but they were also proclaiming the victory that God had promised them before they even went out. Did you read that? Did you notice that? At the beginning of the passage, verse 2, let me read it to you again if you missed it. Verse 2 of the passage that was read today says, God says to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. God said this to Joshua before he gave them these instructions of what to do so the walls would fall down. Have you noticed that God often does that in the Old Testament with the warriors that he sent to conquer cities? He would often say before they went, see, I've delivered that city into your hands. Past tense. Hasn't even happened. But he speaks of it as if it already has. Why? Because it already has. It has to be cashed in. How? By faith. That's how you cash into the promises of God today. That's the challenge that I want you to take up. That there are promises. I reminded you last week that there are promises that are yet to be cashed, waiting to be cashed. By faith, by you. So they're already there. Imagine that there's a cloud of blessings, because there is a cloud of blessings. Where? Right here in the Word of God. So there is a cloud of blessings, of promises that follow you around, and they're there. What do you have to do? Poke the cloud and let the blessings come down. Poke the cloud. By faith. Step out in faith. Did you hear that? That was mentioned before. We didn't talk. But step out in faith was said as a part of the beginning of the service today before I even began to preach. Why? Because the Spirit of God is talking to you today. Poke the cloud by faith. Dare to believe that God has good things for you. Dare to believe the verse that always reminds me of D. I have good plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God told them, I have given you that city. And when God said it, it was as good as done. So all the men needed to do was to go out and worship God, to do it the way he had commanded and proclaim his victory over their enemies. Are you doing that? This is not just a message that tickles your ears. I don't do that. I will always invite you into the arena where the changes are happening. I don't want you to sit around as watching people, you know, a concert. Look at all the things that are happening there. No, you're supposed to be here in the arena where the changes are taking place. Changes that are happening in you and in the world around you. That's the calling of God in your life. And if anybody preaches anything different, may they be removed from wherever pulpit they are, because they're not preaching the truth. God has called you to be in the arena where all the excitement is happening, where all the changes are happening, where people are being changed and transformed, where their faith is growing and becoming a faith like Elijah's faith, like John the Baptist's faith, like Joshua's faith, like the priest that did this faith. You can have that faith. It's not just for a few. It's also for you. My friends, this is the way God does things. He wants us to do things by faith, in obedience to his commands, guidelines, and wisdom. And he will give us the victory. Everything God calls us to do involves faith. Think about it. Tithing involves faith. Oh, I don't have enough. I don't either. There are times when I gave God what I had for food when I was a student, and I trusted God. Oh, I don't want to give God the full amount of tithe because I think that's too much. Who are you to decide what God should say you should give or not? I'm sorry, I've been in the presence of God, and I'm preaching more boldly today. Not that I'm not in the presence of God before, but this is a topic that is very close to the heart of God. And so I'm preaching to you. You talk to God about this and do whatever God tells you to do, but do it. Step out in faith. So everything God calls us to do involves faith. Worship? Can we worship in the way that God wants to be worshiped, or are we going to be, well, I don't do that because I'm really, we talked about this on Tuesday, didn't we, Pat? I don't worship that way because I'm Dutch. I don't worship that way because that's not part of my culture. I don't worship that way because it's a little off. I just want to be safe. Is that really what God tells us to do? Or does he tell us to worship exuberantly? Are we going to shout only when we're watching games, when we're watching our grandchildren play? Or are we going to be exuberantly worshiping God, even when we're at home? What is it that God truly deserves? Tithing? Are we doing that according to God's command? At least talk to God about that. What should I give to you? I don't even know who gives what. I don't need to know because I don't want to judge people by what they give or don't give. But you talk to God about it and see what God is asking you to give. It's not to the church that you're giving. It's to God. I don't give to the church. When I put my check in for my tithes, I give it to God. The church will be responsible before God for the way the church handles the money. All of us will be. But I step out in obedience, and I have since the day I became a Christian. I've always tithed, always giving offerings on top of tithing. Serving him. Are we comfortable just serving with our little extra time? Or are we serving by going out of our comfort zone? Are we serving those people who don't deserve it? Do you think it's easy for me? Some people may criticize me for having my meetings at the bar. Do you think it's easy for me to interact with drunks? I'm a woman. I have to be very careful. But I don't want them not to have an interaction with a pastor just because I'm a woman. I want them to have a connection, some exposure to God. And so when I go in, I talk to them. And some of them are very drunk, and so I just step back a little in case they want to say, hey, hello, pastor. Want to put their arm around me a little too close. But I have to fellowship with them. Isn't that what Jesus did? He interacted with the sinners, the prostitutes. He is called a friend of sinners, prostitutes. And he defended them. He said, those of you who are free from sin, go ahead and throw a stone at that woman who was caught in adultery. How are you stepping out in faith? Or are you comfortable with the pin-sized head faith that you may have? That's not the way of the kingdom, my friends. Don't hate me for that. Don't kill the messenger. But I have to tell you the truth. That's not the way of the kingdom. And we are the children of God. How are you doing at loving others, stepping out in faith? Is it easier to love the lovable? Or are you obeying the call to love the unlovable? Those are the things that challenge us to live by faith. That's the way that God is asking us to step out. It's not always comfortable. Have you ever heard of growing pains? Well, there are growing pains when we're growing in our faith. Let me end with this story that is true. I've shared it before, and I'll share it again to close. Some of you may remember this story. It's a true story. There was a woman driving by a gas station. She passed it. Before she passed it, God said to her, I want you to go into that gas station by the soda machine and do a headstand. Say what? She said to God, she thought, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to keep driving. So God said it again. How many of you remember this story that I shared? No one? Okay, I've shared it more than once. Maybe you were sleeping. No more sleeping. I want you to remember this story. So she said, say what, God? She kept driving, and God said it again. She thought, no, that doesn't make any sense. They'll call the cops on me or something. She kept driving. And God said it louder. Go back. Stand on your head by the pop machine. So she thought, okay, I've lost my mind. They're going to call the cops on me, but I'm going to obey because I have to step out in faith. That's the kind of obedience that I'm talking about. She went back. Obviously, this was a younger woman, right? I hope he doesn't ask you, any of you, to do that. She went back, and she thought, oh, thank God, there's no one here. Okay, at least it's going to be easier. She looked at the clerk, and the clerk looked at her, and she walked right by the pop machine, and she looked at him again, and she thought, okay, here we go. And she stood on her head, and the clerk looked at her and said, can you please come here? And she thought, here we go. He's going to call somebody to confine me in an asylum or something. And as she was walking up to him, the man began to cry. And he said, why did you do that? She said, because God told me. He said, I have a gun right here. I was about to commit suicide. And I told God, I've heard that you're a God who does mighty things. I'll tell you what. I'm done with this life. I have the gun here, no one is here, and I'm going to kill myself right now. But if you care, you need to send someone to do something that I will know is you. Have someone go and stand by the pop machine on their head. And they both cried and prayed. And thank a God together. A God who calls people to do things by faith that don't always make sense. May the God who does that take our hearts and lives today and help us to develop that kind of faith. Let us pray. Father, in Hebrews 11:3-6, you tell us that without faith, it is impossible to please you. So, Lord, we want to have a strong faith. Father, you are pleased with faith, and we want to please you, oh God. We don't want to live to please the world. We want to live to please you. Would you help us, Lord, to develop a strong faith like Enoch had? You say that Enoch was taken from this life by faith. You say that by faith Abraham offered to you that sacrifice. And by faith Abel brought you a better offering than Cain did. Father, we know that faith is important to you, but the world tells us that we don't need a strong faith, that what we have is good enough. Father, will you develop in us a hunger after righteousness, which includes a stronger faith? This we ask from the bottom of our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.